Let's pause for prayer. Oh God, make sense of these words to us, the words from Acts 2, the Pentecost Day. May we receive them, take them in, understand them, digest them, and may they be useful and helpful in the week ahead. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the outside looking in, it must have been strange to see what was happening there in Jerusalem in that house. 50 days after Jesus had resurrected, all these people were together with the disciples and were thinking, what was it? Was it a convention? Was it a show? Was it a contest? What was it? Must have been strange. Now, what is the strangest place that you've ever been in your life? Anybody would like to say what the strangest place they've ever been? Marlou and I went to a very strange place the other day. It's called Universal Studios. Any of you been there? Now, there are some strange people there, isn't there? There are some weird characters walking around. There's a few there. Have you all seen these people? There are strange pictures. There are strange backdrops. There are strange environments. That's the strangest one there. Yes, very unusual, very unusual. Oh, there's Marilyn Monroe. Oh, okay. I don't know who those people are. There are a lot of strange things happening there. We enjoyed it, actually. But if the people from Jerusalem went over there and saw all that, they would think, this is strange. Just in the same way, if we went to that day back then and saw what was happening, we would think, this is strange. There was a rushing wind. There were tongues of fire that came simultaneously from heaven and descended upon the people. Now, wind and fire tends to be destructive in its extreme form. Whether it's tornadoes or brush fires or wildfires, it causes chaos and calamity. Extreme wind and extreme fire wreak havoc on nature and on God's creation and upon the community. Usually, they're not seen as something helpful or good or productive. So that was one strange thing that was happening there. The next strange thing that we noticed was that there was an assortment of people. Jews from every nation, it says in verse 5. And verse 9 lists them from the Parthians and Medes and Elamites and from Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia. There were even Arabs there and visitors from Rome. And they were speaking their own languages about the great deeds that God had done. Now, usually when you have a whole bunch of people from different places, there isn't harmony or there isn't unity. What is so strange about it is that they were from all these ethnicities, but there was cohesiveness, there was harmony. Usually, when you have, even if you would imagine various immigrants from different countries all in one place, it's not usually comfortable. It's awkward. It's tense. It can be uncomfortable. I want to rewind back to Genesis chapter 11, if you remember that story, the Tower of Babel. The whole earth had one common language, and they decided to build a tower to God. And God said, well, if this is what they are doing, they have one language, then who knows what's next? So God said to his angels, let us go down and confuse them so they won't be able to understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from across the face of the entire earth, and they stopped building the city. The story of the Tower of Babel gives support to the idea that division and separation and isolation is okay, because God made it all right. And so we see the splintering apart of people, the scattering and the dispersing. It almost makes it seem like people and their clans are more homogeneous, and it was okay. Now Bede, who is an ancient scholar around the 8th century, would say that on this day of Pentecost, it's the inversion of the Tower of Babel story. So instead of the dispersing and splitting and scattering of people, all of a sudden now they are being drawn together. There is this inclusive ingathering. Normally, vast different peoples are not fitted together or connecting or linking, but now they are getting along and they are comfortable with each other and feeling at home, and that is strange. The third thing that is strange about this story is in verse 16 to 17. This was what was spoken about from the prophet Joel. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. You say, well, what is strange about that? Well, the young and the old shall prophesy. The young and the old shall see visions. Now, in the normal society, in the business and corporate world, things tend to be very hierarchical or very top-down or very authoritarian. The ideas are passed down from the older to the younger. But according to this passage, the prediction or the projection according to the good news of the gospel of Jesus is that the vision for a bright future comes from the young people. Hope and promise shall be articulated and announced and broadcasted from the bottom coming up, and it promotes more grassroots types of movements. The end of the verse also says, though, that the old men dream dreams. So the innovation, the implementation of the good news of the gospel can come from the old, but also from the young. It can travel down the age chain, but up the ladder and upstream. In other words, the new kingdom of God shall involve the young voice and the experienced voice. The young and the old coexist, and they work together, they cohabitate and collaborate, and somehow we reach a balanced, healthy conversation, dialogue, and it's less heavy-handed, less paternalistic and hierarchical, and that is strange to many. The church in the New Age, the church of the kingdom of God, is strange. People were amazed and perplexed. And verse 12 said some people even sneered at it. People couldn't understand what was happening, and they came to the conclusion, well, they must be drunk, they must be high, they must be on drugs or something. It probably looked like they were foolish, or it was full of folly. But the church in the New Age and the kingdom of God, there is a countervailing creation of the Holy Spirit and holy fire, the wisdom and the wind and the spirit, as well as the inspiring fire, this new community, the new diversity, a new voice and vision stirring from young to old, back and forth. When I look at our church, we are so diverse, and we have the attributes and the elements of what was happening back then. And to the outsider, maybe to the visitor, we might seem strange. We may seem stranger than fiction, or we may look like it's all foolishness to someone who can't understand, but we are fools for Christ, as it says in 1 Corinthians 4:10. Strange in that we are people of the Spirit and fire. We are a diverse family that worships every Sunday. We may appear strange that we tie knots on a quilt. We may look strange that we're singing hymns, that we're worshiping and praying, that we are leading and teaching our children. We encourage dreams, and we dream dreams, and we prophesy, and we have visions. We are a strange people, but we are fools for Christ, and we are part of the kingdom of God in this strange place. But hopefully, we will make a difference. And as we celebrated our 91st anniversary, may we continue on, even though we may be perceived as strange, we shall continue to be a witness and a follower and faithful for Christ. Amen. Amen.